You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
What a great show tonight. And it's great to be back with you, ladies and gentlemen, for the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast. It is Saturday, October the 17th. And unless you have a guest like Mark Weber on, sometimes the best part of the shows are the times in between commercial breaks, particularly that long break in between each hour. And Keith and I were back in the green room. The interns left some goodies for us tonight. Keith, what kind of cake were you chowing down into?
Somebody made a slab strawberry cake, which is my favorite, with strawberry icing. And I was up to my ears in it when James came through the door. I was like a starving kitten. I was guarding the plate to keep him from getting to it. But I eventually relented and gave James a big slice.
Work must intrude. And who better to interrupt the consumption of cake than our very good friend Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. In addition to that, Mark is a lecturer, historian, current affairs analyst, and author. We put one of his most recent television interviews up at our website just a few days ago. He was educated in the United States and Europe and holds a master's degree in modern European history from Indiana University. Always one that we enjoy welcoming back each and every time. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you very much, James. I'm always humbled to, by your exuberant and very friendly introduction, but thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, we're exuberant, gregarious, charismatic guys down here in Memphis. It's a Southern thing, I guess you could say. But we're going to talk about an issue perhaps not so exciting, and that is the rhetorical question. I would say the million-dollar question, but I guess it's the hundreds of billions dollars question. Why the racial gap in
academic achievement
and education still exists? And, you know, it's interesting because I just acquired a book just within the last few days written by a gentleman that Mark had speak to his routine gathering there in California. So when Mark emailed me out of the blue to ask me if I would like to discuss this topic, I said, your timing is uncanny. I just got the book myself, completely unsolicited. So anyway, Mark, tell us about why this question is on your mind tonight.
Well, it's especially on my mind because this book is brand new, and the author of the book, who lives here in Southern California, introduced and presented his book at our meeting a week ago tonight. And we were very happy to do so. He's come to other meetings. As you sort of mentioned, we hold meetings here every 6-8 weeks or so. We've held, normally in a given year, we have maybe 8-9 of these meetings. And we try to make them, at each one, we have some special speaker. And so the special speaker on this occasion was Bob Walters, Robert Walters, who just came out with this new book with a very important message, a very important point. You know, everybody, I mean, people, if we have a discussion about what's going on in the Middle East or the American Civil War or World War II, that's harder for people to relate to than questions about education or taxes, for example, because everybody pays taxes and everybody's been to school, so people have opinions about those things. And also, the education issue is not just a theoretical one. These programs cost huge, huge amounts of money, tens of millions of, or billions, I should say, billions of dollars just on just one program that I might get into to try to deal with these questions. And the question of why the gap in achievement between different racial groups persists is a very big one in our society. It's an important one for everybody because everybody's told that this is a land of great opportunity. Everybody ought to be able to achieve, and if they're not achieving, there must be some bad reason why people aren't achieving equally well, regardless of their race. And one of the biggest expressions of that is the difference in achievement between different racial groups, a problem that has persisted for a long time, and that the politicians and educators and everybody has thrown tens of billions of dollars. I mean, I can give some figures to try to deal with this problem, try to deal with this issue, I should say, and the results have been pitiful. There's been essentially no change in the persistent differences in achievement between blacks, whites, Asians, and Latinos or Hispanics.
Mark, I'm going to let my co-host Keith Alexander toss you a few questions, and we may extend you, if you have the availability tonight, into a third segment this hour, which would take us to about the 45 mark of this hour, if you have the time. But I would just like to circle back to something you mentioned there in passing. Approximately at what point in American history, I would gather the 50s or 60s, did this concerted effort to bridge the racial gap in achievement and academic success and prowess, when did it begin, and do we have any kind of even a roundabout figure of how many billions of dollars has been dumped into this initiative?
Well, just one program. Now, again, some of these programs try to deal with the general question of educational achievement in general, and some are more specifically aimed at the difference in racial achievement by race. But one of the hallmark programs was a very much publicized thing called the No Child Left Behind Act, and it was passed by overwhelming vote of Congress in 2001. It was initiated by President George W. Bush, a Republican, but it had very wide support from both parties. It was passed overwhelmingly in Congress, and that program, according, you can look this up, has cost, well, anywhere from $40 to $100 billion. And it's been,
and that's just one recent example. That's just one example program. Within...
Yeah.
Right.
It is a big...
Yeah,
that's a recent program. It's one... And even at the time this program was launched, one educator, one well-known academic, Charles Murray, he said, what the United States is trying to do has never been attempted by any society in all of human history. It's trying, in effect, to make most everybody do above average. You can't do it. It can't be done. It's impossible. But that's what was being tried with this program. And predictably, before the punishment or the accountability provisions of the No Child Left Behind Act began kicking in, state after state started exempting themselves from the entire thing. And now it's a dead letter. The whole thing's a dead letter. Tens of billions of dollars have been spent on this lunatic program, and people who knew about the thing predicted when the thing began that this was going to be the result. And sure enough, that was the result. And now they've dumped that, and the new big thing they talk about is the so-called Common Core program. And you'll hear politicians talk about it sometime without really explaining what it means. But the point is, that was just one program, and there's a whole range of others. And if you look at that book by Bob Walters, he delves into each of these dozens of nostrums and policies and programs that have been tried over the past 50 years to deal with this, all of them unsuccessful.
We're going to come back with Mark Weber, and when we come back with Mark, immediately after the break, we're going to let Keith Alexander join in on this conversation. He's got a lot of questions, and Mark, go ahead and plan, if you can, to stay with us 30 minutes from this point, because there's a lot to talk about, and we really haven't even started. And so, Keith and Mark on your airwaves. When we come back, stay tuned.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, good evening, people. This is Keith Alexander. We've got Mark Weber on the line. Mark Weber is an author, has a website that we link permanently to our political cesspool website.
IHR.org.
IHR.org. And he is, I guess, the editor of the, the Historical
Institute for Historical Review.
That's right. Well, we're talking about a new book that's come out by a gentleman named Bob Walters, which explores why all of these liberal efforts to equalize racial groups in terms of academic achievement and educational achievement have not succeeded despite the expenditure of probably trillions of dollars. It goes back, you know, it's really the primary project of modern liberalism. Modern liberalism, or the period of modern liberalism, at least to our mind, began on May the 17th, 1954, when the U.S. Supreme Court handed down its decision in Brown versus Topeka Board of Education, which struck down laws enforcing racial segregation in public schools. And the assumption argued in and before the Supreme Court in that case was that if you put down the artificial barriers of racial segregation, that we could expect in short order for black children's achievement in education to equal that of white children. How has that worked out?
Right. Well, Keith, I mean, it's very important to highlight this very crucial decision by the Supreme Court. That's a red-letter date in America's, you might say, decline or its transformation over our lifetimes, depending on how old you are. But yes, that was a crucial thing. And we know now, I mean, there's no debate about it. The science or the evidence presented to the Supreme Court to justify that Supreme Court ruling was bogus, was false. And that's acknowledged by across the board now by scholars and scientists. This notion that if you make people feel better or you combine them in the same classroom, it's all going to sort of even out, that has proven utterly false. And since then, huge amounts of money have been made spent to try to make the wishful thinking conform to the reality. And instead of making our policies conform to reality, we're trying to make reality conform to wishful thinking. And that's the kind of basic point that was that's made in this book by Walters, and that many other people have pointed out over the years and was talked about quite a lot at this meeting we had last week.
Well, reality seems to intrude upon every liberal nostrum and pipe dream, this being no exception, and particularly this area of academic and educational achievement. Think of the cost not only of the Brown decision, but all of the enforcement mechanism decisions that followed Brown to try to break down segregation, then busing, and the enormous costs associated with the busing project in the late 60s, early 70s, then No Child Left Behind, then all of these educational fads that have come down the pike that we're going to, you know, one more fad and we're going to get it right and we're going to see the magic new day dawn when black children are liberated and they start achieving educationally just like white and Asian children. And they never tire. They, you know, one failure after another is racked up, but there's never any loss of momentum on the left. Nobody ever stands back and says, maybe we got it all wrong from the beginning. And it seems
right.
like...
That's exactly the point that this book makes and that several of the speakers, including myself, made at this meeting. And this is one of the incredible things. But one of the important things that I think to stress, and it's a point I try to emphasize over and over, this isn't just the fault of people who are, quote, leftist or liberals. This is also wishful thinking and the policies of people who call themselves conservatives. This didn't change even in the Reagan years, much less the Bush years. I mean, even when Republicans are in office, they're still pushing for this notion about how society should be that is more important than how reality really is. And anyway, this is, but your basic point is a very, very important one, that they keep persisting. In fact, one of the solutions to this problem that's been again tried is, well, maybe people do better if we resegregate them. So efforts have been made to say, okay, well, let's put back black and white and other kids in the same classroom, and maybe that'll be the answer. In fact, all sorts of weird things have been tried over the years. I mean, one of the most
and nothing works.
No, and it doesn't work. In fact, see, it's so persistent that there's not a single school district in the entire United States where the same pattern exists. That is, blacks do less well than whites. Hispanics do slightly better than blacks, and less well than whites. And East Asians generally or often do slightly better or as well as whites. This same pattern exists regardless even of income level. That is, even whites from lower income level do better on average than blacks from a higher income level. I mean, and
all of this was done under the rubric of equality, that somehow we had to treat them equally, and if we treat these people equally, they would achieve on an equal basis. Now they've gone without any embarrassment whatsoever into giving preferential treatment to blacks. For example, affirmative action to get people of color with lower standardized test scores into highly selective colleges and universities. That's been going on since I was a college student back in the late 60s, early 70s. And
right.
You still have this incredible gap. You can credential these people, but, just wishing it doesn't make it so.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's one of the other points that was brought up in the book and also in the points made by speakers, is that one of the results of all of this has been a tremendous inflation of credentials, that degrees don't mean what they used to. Grades don't mean what they used to. This is another big problem in American education that's closely related to the first one. Trying to create equality and make everybody feel good has had the result of handing out degrees and handing out certificates and handing out grades that don't mean anything. That's another aspect of this. It's cheapened everything in the United States. And we see this not only in education, but we see this in other areas of American life as well.
Well, you also notice that these so-called credentialed minority group diploma holders tend to congregate in the public sector, not the private sector, where they have to prove their worth. And if they can't prove their worth, then they go to the bottom of the class. They lose their job and whatnot. The educational establishment is notorious for being a nesting ground for credentialed mediocrities.
Yeah.
Is that a fair statement?
Right. I would go beyond that even. It used to be that in the days of segregation, that black communities had their own leadership, their own businesses and capable leaders that have gone now, because what's happened is the most capable blacks in society have been, as it were, skimmed off into public life, into governmental work, into other businesses, so that the black community is left without the kind of quality of leadership that it had at least during the days of segregation. I mean, there used to be black newspapers, black insurance companies, black leaders who were far more capable as serving as leadership in the black community than exists now.
Well, folks, when we come back after this next commercial break, I'm going to ask Mark a very fundamental question before we get the basics about this book we've been talking about and more information, and of course we'll plug Mark's website as well. I'm going to ask Mark after the break, what exactly is the gap and how wide is it? We're talking about the racial gap and disparity in education. We're going to get to the fundamentals and the basics, and we're going to get some numbers when we return. Mark Weber, our guest, IHR.org. He's the director of the Institute for Historical Review. Stay tuned. One more segment with Mark right after this.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. You a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, if I'm anything, I'm Frank, ladies and gentlemen, and I had an epiphany during the commercial break, and I have to let my thoughts be known to you. I have come to the conclusion, very radically, that Mark and Keith are absolutely wrong and washed up on this issue. And I know that because I was on a date night last night. I get a once-a-year date night with my wife. We have 2 children, 5 years old, and almost one. Next week, he'll be one. We don't get a lot of date nights. But anyway, we went to a movie last night, and we saw The Martian. And I realized in reflecting upon The Martian, Matt Damon's character gets stranded on Mars, and the black computer astrophysicist saves him. And nobody at NASA could figure it out but the black astrophysicist in the movie. And he was a young, you know, early 20s, late teens guy, and he figured it all out. And then I was thinking, you know what, it's not just him. In Independence Day, the world was saved by Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum, the black and Jewish heroes.
Not only the smartest guy in the room, but the smartest guy in the galaxy, apparently.
Well, exactly. So, Mark, I mean, maybe we're wrong about that.
If you carefully watch American television, you can understand very easily that what Keith has been saying and what I've been saying is just all wrong. You can see it in Hollywood. Just tell us the answer. There's a series on Netflix that my wife and I watch called Blacklist. And on that,
yes,
head of the Department of the FBI is this very smart black guy. They have these very, very intelligent black people running things. Blacks are never portrayed. And another person who's the sidekick of the main character, he's an extraordinarily patient and sensitive man who's also very capable. This is not an accident. This is part of the culture, which is deliberately done to create this thing. And it's one of the reasons why culture is so important. The values of a society are set much more by culture than they are by politics. In other words, the political life is constrained, and the limits of what's possible politically are set by what is people assume culturally. And especially in American society, Hollywood and television play this huge role that creates this world that is unrooted in reality. And this is, I mean, you can see this over and over again. And the vast majority of people, when they see a movie, of course, or television, they don't ask themselves, well, who made the decision to make this particular scene the way it is? Why was this done? But there is a point and an agenda in place that does this, and it's one of the reasons, because this sets our ideology in America. The ideology that has the catastrophic consequences, not only in educational life, but in other aspects of American life as well.
Well, what you've just described is a nutshell of cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism said that classical Marxism made a mistake by trying to capture political power. Instead, they should try to control the culture, and then political power would fall into their laps like ripe fruit, right?
Right.
And you can see that.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely essential, and you can find a whole lot, of course, about how this was done and the steps that were taken and so forth. And this goes back now back again to the No Child Left Behind Act. And here's one of the important points I want to stress, is that the No Child Left Behind Act and American educational policy is based on the premise that how well people do in life, in education and so forth, is due entirely, and I mean entirely, to upbringing, socialization, environment. Basically, they all say that how well people do has nothing to do with heredity or biology. Now, that's the ideology that's in place in this country. It's proclaimed by our political leaders. It's proclaimed by our educators. We hear this over and over. From the time American children are in kindergarten, they're told that the greatest American of the last 100 years is Martin Luther King, who proclaimed emphatically this ideal and this notion, and it's grilled into people's heads from the time they're in kindergarten. So it's not surprising that politicians and so forth go along with this, because to oppose it is in effect to say that the way America's been run and the ideology on which America's been run for at least 50 years has been entirely wrong. Now, this has consequences in foreign policy. Over and over, America sends troops overseas and claims we're going to turn Afghanistan into a kind of Denmark. We're going to make Iraq a country sort of like Norway. We're going to make sure that women are voting and everybody's equal and free in X country or whatever. And the results are predictably absolutely calamitous, absolutely terrible. But it doesn't stop our political leaders from continuing to carry out policies based upon this delusional idea about how the world ought to be.
Well, there's certainly how the world ought to be and how it is. There's a great disconnect between Hollywood's version and reality. And, of course, everything I said before was tongue-in-cheek. Although I would add, if you are a subscriber to Netflix, Mark, as I am, I would hardly recommend, if you've not yet seen them, checking out The Tudors, which covers the life of Henry VIII, and The Borgias, which is, of course, about the life of Alexander, I believe it was the Sixth. Pope Alexander the Sixth. Of course, it's dramatized, and they take a little historical license. But great period pieces, nonetheless, and great acting, if you're on Netflix. Now,
the quality is still somewhat better on Netflix oftentimes than it is on the junky stuff you'll find on some of the other networks. But
there's no doubt of it. No doubt.
Points I want to stress, though, and this is a big point I made at this meeting, and I think it's really important, is this idea of equality is one that almost no one actually believes. They don't really believe it. Everybody goes along with this because we're all expected to believe it, and the proof that people don't really believe it is they don't have those same expectations when it comes to things that are really important. And what I mean by that is when it comes to entertainment, when it comes to sports, you can throw the whole equality thing out the window. Nobody thinks that there should be a certain percentage of Asian people in American basketball or football. Nobody cares about the principle of racial equality and so forth when it comes to their team in basketball or football. They just want their team to win, and they don't care about these big principles. In other words,
I think it's more pernicious than that, Mark. What they want, if black people can rise to the top in a competitive endeavor, then cutthroat competition is the order of the day. If they don't, then egalitarian principles have to prevail.
Well, and that's what gets back to education. I want to ask you this, Mark, before we run out of time. We have poured billions of dollars as a society, at taxpayer expense, of course, into bridging the gap between racial and academic achievement. And we've dumbed down the curriculum to help bring about the results that we desire, or that the regime desires. And we have rewarded esteem rather than excellence. If you go back, as I have, and you look at some of the eighth grade curriculum from the late 1800s, it is far advanced from college curriculum today. I mean, this is an undeniable fact. So I want to get back to the basics, and I want to get you to plug the book and your website. But the question is, about the racial gap, how wide is it? How wide is it, and what exactly is it?
Okay, I'll give a few statistics here. I don't want to belabor the point, but the gap is persistent. For example, in California schools, the difference of achievement in English language arts, but for the average is 43% meet these requirements. 43% in the English language arts. Of that group, white people make 62% of white people reach this level of achievement, and among blacks and Latinos, it's 31% and 29%. Now, in other words, about half the white level. In mathematics, whites achieve 53% of whites, slightly over majority, achieve the proficiency level in mathematics in these California schools. I'm just, again, this is on page 188 of the book. The average is 41%, and blacks achieve at the level of 30%. I mean, considerably less, almost half of the white level, and Latinos at 25%. That is half the white level. Now, that one of the reasons they're even talking about a lot of this is that in much of American history, people didn't really care about how well people did in racial groups or even in the country. You know, up until the 19th century, many states didn't even have public schools. Wasn't until the, late 1800s, there wasn't even public school system in many states because people said, why should I be taxed to pay for the education of other people's children? They took the view that education was an entirely family responsibility. Well, it was only now, of course, we say, well, no, it's a responsibility of the society. And that brings up this basic question about what is America? What are we, one country, or are we a country of individuals? If it's a country of people who have a mutual responsibility for each other, then the public, a public school system makes sense. If they don't, why even have public school? It should be up to each individual. In fact, that's what some people argue. But the problem is that America isn't one society. It's one country, but it's many, many very different people who live here. It's as different as, well, as any country can possibly be. And in fact, it's hard to have, impossible to have a sense of unity when people
Mark,
so much culturally.
We got to take a break. If you can stay with us long enough to plug the book.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, we've kept Mark woefully over schedule. That is the one and only Mark Weber, Institute for Historical Review, IHR.org. Mark, thank you for staying with us for some extended play tonight, and please do remind the audience before we close this evening with the title of the book that we've been discussing for the bulk of this hour and how they can get it.
The title of the book is Facing Reality in American Education, Why the Racial Gap in Educational Achievement Persists. The book is by Robert Walters, and it's available for $8.95, $9 from Noontide Press, which is our affiliate book publishing and distribution outlet. If you go to noontidepress.com, you'll find the book available there. Again, $8.95, or you can just give us a call. If you call the IHR number on our website, ihr.org, anybody will be glad to take an order or tell you how to get the book that way as well. But as I said, the book is brand new. It just came out, and it's loaded with a lot of information. You might call it ammunition for those people who persist in delusional thinking. Good material for discussions with friends and neighbors or anybody else who's not quite who hasn't quite got the program or thinks that Hollywood's got a better idea about the world than our common sense.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for bringing it to our attention. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the book. I would encourage you to get it as well. And if this is a vast topic, so certainly even our best efforts could only scratch the surface of it. We encourage you to get the book, and thanks again to Mark Webber for giving us some of his valuable time this evening. Mark, always a pleasure.
Thank you very much, James, for having me on. And Keith, also thank you, too. It's always a pleasure being with you, and keep up your good work.
Thank you so much. It's always great to have you on the show.
Mark Webber, everybody, IHR.org. And, Keith, I was reading something recently that said the average talk radio listener tunes in to any given show for about 6 minutes. 6 minutes! You know, and here we are for 3 hours every night. Our audience would have to be the exception to that rule, because I get the statistics for this network show that it's more than quadruple that, but even that is somewhat short of 3 hours, even though this network is far ahead of the curve compared to most commercial talk radio. And of course, this network is vastly superior to those other networks.
Of course, we're always complaining to ourselves off mic that we have to give a cursory treatment to so much of the information that comes across our desk. We would love to have gone into a great deal more depth with Mark Webber, for example. And it shows you the limitations that you face trying to put together a radio program like this. But you're going to get an in-depth treatment here far beyond what you get on the normal AM or FM radio station or the normal AM or FM radio program. We don't let our program be driven by phone calls. We want to cover topics and cover them well and cover them in depth so that you can come away from our program educated, truly educated about the issues of the day. And believe me, getting a true education about something like public education and its shortcomings is scarce as hen's teeth in today's world, James.
Well, it is. And, you know, I say all that to say this. I get emails from people, and I know people who listen to this show, never miss a show. 3 hours every Saturday. They haven't missed it for years. They haven't missed a minute. You know, that's the kind of audience we've got. We've got a great audience, and we celebrate our audience now as we head into our 11th year anniversary, which is only a few days away, October 26th. So next week's show, which will be on the 24th, is the closest as we're going to get to the 26th this year on the air. We're going to celebrate you, the people who have made it possible. We're going to recap some of the greatest moments and achievements behind the scenes and otherwise with the people who have made it possible on the air, the hosting staff and the production crew. That's coming up next week. But I read a story today. The headline was Mike Huckabee appears on Hate Radio program. And I read the headline. I was like, well, when did we have Huckabee on? We wouldn't have Huckabee on. And sure enough, it turns out that they weren't talking about us at all. That's normally how we're introduced, quite erroneously, obviously, but that's normally how we're introduced by the media, the same media that would give you the hero in that movie I just mentioned, contrary to all reality. Well, their perception of us is contrary to reality. We love who we are. We're proud of our ancestry. We're quite happy to be born the way we were, and we're not ashamed of it. That's not to say that we hate everybody else, as they claim, but no. Mike Huckabee appears on Hate Radio program, so I clicked on it to see, well, how did they get that wrong? We wouldn't have a guy like that on. Well, it wasn't us. It was the American Family Radio Show, which is an auxiliary of the American Family Association. So Mike Huckabee goes on the American Family Association's radio arm, and it's deemed hate radio. So this is the world we live in now, Keith. Anything whites do is racist, and now all of Christianity is hate. Even a basic, very basic milquetoast Christianity that you get from the American Family Association, basically the only thing they're strong on is the homosexual issue. That gets even that is enough to get them labeled hate radio. And, of course, they are officially sanctioned hate
group. The secret hand behind all of this is the Southern Poverty Law Center. We and the American Family Research Council, which is Tony Perkins' group, and that radio program you were talking about is an adjunct to his group. We're both, the Political Cesspool and the American Family Research Council, are denominated hate groups by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And the Southern Poverty Law Center...
There's not a lot of poverty. Not a lot of poverty.
Not much poverty there at the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're a multi-million-dollar operation. But, you know, what we do on this program is go into depth in topics that, you know, thinking people want to know about. And we can't be bothered with the vilification that we receive at the hands of brainless, clueless people like those at the Southern Poverty Law Center. For example, you were telling me just during one of the breaks about a listener named Curtis who was basically congratulating us about the treatment we gave to the U.S. petroleum industry in the last show that we had last week. And we were talking about this, about how the ownership of our petroleum industry is being basically reconfigured. They're driving prices down, trying to foment bankruptcies, so that other people other than the people that currently own the petroleum resources in America will have control of them. Now, of course, just think about this. What other nation in the world besides the United States of America would sit idly by and allow its petroleum resources to be gobbled up by foreigners? Would the Venezuelans allow that? No. Would the Mexicans that have Pemex, you know, the state-run petroleum industry, company allow that? No, they wouldn't. Would the Russians allow it? No. Would the Saudi Arabians allow it? Hell no. But why in the world would we allow it? We believe in these silly liberal rubrics like free trade and the freedom of contract and things like this, where other nations operate on the basis of common sense. It would be a disaster for America's petroleum resources to fall into the hands of foreigners. They would basically use our national treasure, which is vast petroleum resources. We have enough petroleum resources and enough coal resources to provide for our energy needs for thousands of years. And we're going to let foreigners take control of those. That's what's going on right now in the oil patch in America. That's what all these low prices at the gas pump are about. It's the Saudis flooding the market so they can drive American competitors out of business, put them into bankruptcy, and then they will show up at the bankruptcy sale and buy the assets. Now, who else is telling you about that? That was the gist of your conversation with Curtis, except this radio program. No one else is giving you any heads up at all on that type of development, James.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think that could be said for a lot of the things we covered tonight, including, or rather every week, including what we covered tonight, which was the conversation that we just ended with Mark Weber. And that's why the Political Cesspool is known around the world, and that's why we stand tall, is because we talk about the things that the folks on the other networks will not touch, and we do it in a very honest and heartfelt way, in a way that is inspiring and encouraging and hopeful to our audience, and one that's very attractive, I think. And certainly we will celebrate all of that next week as we go into the festive. It's the one show of the year where we just really just sit around in a circle and pat each other on the back. But no,
but
it's not
our,
a celebration of us,
principle
it's a celebration
really
of the audience.
Our guiding principle is give light and the people will find their own way. We shine lights in the darkest, murkiest corners of American culture and politics, and we'll continue to do that. That's our mission. Please help support us in that mission. We are always in need of funds. Please go ahead and give us your support so that we can continue providing this very valuable alternative source of information. Information you won't receive anywhere else.
And between this week and the next, ladies and gentlemen, before we rejoin you on Saturday evening, 7 days from now, to celebrate 11 full years on the air, enjoy the package you received from us this week if you contributed to last month's fundraising drive. Our gift from you. We love you, folks. We'll see you next week. God bless you. Good night. I'm James Edwards.
To keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.